Good evening, everyone. This is our first meeting of the age-friendly ad hoc committee. So thank you all for joining and working towards this effort. So I'm looking forward to working with all of you. And I wanted to at least start off with Sarah. She's from the village. She's going to be providing us support on this committee from the staff, and she's actually going to be taking our minutes, so none of us have to do that. And then, of course, handling all the protocols of the roll call when we start the meeting, any voting that we occur, but today is mostly discussion right now. For this meeting, and then of course at the end of our meeting when we adjourn. So I know some of you are experts in Zoom or video conferencing, so I ask you to be patient. Maybe some of us are not. And so I just wanted to go over some quick, what I call Zoom protocols, because that's what we're using.
Just real quick. We do need to officially call the meeting to order and do the roll call.
Oh, yes. You know what? There I am jumping again. And I asked Sarah to hit me on the head every time I am not following all the specifics. So thank you, Sarah, for that. So, Sarah, why don't you call the roll call?
Okay. So it's 7:02. Please correct me if I mispronounce your name. Chris Howery?
Here.
Present. Okay. Angie Cedars, not present. Ron Sherman?
Present.
Daniel Lauber?
Present.
Deborah Frederick?
Present.
James Flanagan?
Present.
Lydia Manning?
Present.
And Chairperson Vasquez?
Present, and thank you. Sure. So let me go back now to the Zoom protocols. And very quick, I just want to, as a courtesy, although there's a small group of us, I'm just going to ask that we mute ourselves unless you're going to speak. So whoever the speaker is will be the only one. And we can do this individually. And the idea is so we avoid a lot of echoing. And I'm going to ask that if you do want to speak, at least we're going to start off with either raising your hand, or I think there is a button down here under reactions at the bottom of your screen that you can click for raising. Am I incorrect? Or I'm looking at Sarah too, because I'm, yes. If you under reactions, you click on that, you're going to see a thumbs up or a hand, and the hand is supposed to mean you want to speak. Now, mind you, I don't anticipate with our small group, and since we all love each other, we're probably not going to be using a lot of these protocols. But they're there in case we need to. Two members cannot speak at the same time. We are recording this under the Open Meetings Act. So if two people are speaking, we won't be able to hear each other. And more importantly, the recording won't be able to record both speakers at the same time. So I just ask that. We all wait until we're done making our comments or asking our questions. And again, we are recording this meeting as recorded under the Open Meetings Act, and also to let you know that besides it being recorded, it will also be posted on our village website. Currently, if you looked, you saw today's meeting was scheduled for today. On the right, you had the an agenda board packet, or it said two documents, which was the agenda board packet. After tonight's meeting, probably within a day or two, you're going to see a recording or audio, which will be the recording for this session. In case you want to relive the moment again, you can. And it's really for the public to hear as well. Okay. right now, I'm going to, on next part of our, by the way, does anybody have any questions? This is sort of informal, so no? Okay. The next agenda will be our public comment section. This is, we're required to do this for every public meeting that we have. So I'm going to ask Sarah. Sarah, did anybody sign up for a public comment?
No, I didn't receive any emails from anyone. And I would note that they're the only people on the call right now are the committee, committee members.
Okay, so nobody called in to phone. Okay. Otherwise, I normally would ask if there's somebody on the call, I would ask them if there's anybody in the call that would like to provide public comments. And I may do that in the future, but we don't have to now since nobody's calling in. Okay. The next agenda item are under member welcome and introductions. And so I know all of you by name, and I'm going to ask very briefly if you can state your name, maybe a little background, because I would like to know, I'm sure you all have certain skills, attributes, and experience that will be helpful to this committee. So I'll let you decide what you think will be important and why you chose to serve on this committee very briefly. I'm not looking for essays. So I'm going to do like what they used to do when I was in law school. They went by alphabetical order. I could do that, or I could be the first one to talk, and so you get an idea what I'm thinking about just for us. So you want me to start first? I'd be okay. All right. So my name is Res Specio Vasquez, Res for short. I've been a board trustee now for 3 years now. My experience has been is I'm a school law attorney. So I'm basically representing public schools from, you know, primary, secondary, community colleges and state universities. Currently, I was at Frantic, which is a private law firm that still I was representing public institution, educational institutions. But now, as of January, I switched over to be an in-house attorney for Elgin Community College. So I've been out there for 6 months. Well, 6 months now, approximately, maybe not. 6 months now. July the 4th. Was my 6 month anniversary. Where my interest came in terms of aging friendly matters or issues is I did a leadership lab that is from Oak Park on their foundation. The topic I chose to work on was aging in place. So that's where I started looking at the big picture of age-friendly and how we can serve age-friendly communities. So I kept my interest in that, and that's why I'm here working on that issue. So thank you. And does anybody want to volunteer, or we can go alphabetically, whatever you like. Okay, Chris.
Thank you. Chris Howery, sitting here on Bonnie Bray. I'm on the lemonade block, as is Dan. And my interest in aging started when my dad got older, and I started to think, oh, this is going to happen to me someday too. And so I took a couple classes in gerontology at Concordia, and then I have been very involved in Arbor West Neighbors. I was on the senior services for Township. And I do a lot of things with women as they get older, some different workshops on what do you want to be when you grow up. And so I'm just fascinated. I think we all need to age with dignity and fun. So my background is marketing. I'm a writer, and that's enough about me.
So I'm Ron Sherman. Retired from 33 years with FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency. I was a disaster response specialist. I've now been a volunteer at Brookfield Zoo for 13 years. And Jim Flanagan, that handsome guy you see on your screen, started the River Forest Citizen Corps and Community Emergency Response Team. I became his co-chair with that. And one of my reasons for wanting to be involved is to make sure that our disaster plans include how to make sure that seniors are prepared and also people with disabilities are prepared. So I've retired from that also 2 years ago, but I'm still very interested in that.
Very good. Thank you, Ron. Next, any volunteer? Next, or if not, sure, Deborah.
Well, I am the novice at this. So as you can, I recognize everybody from pictures, but I'm unknown. Anyway, my husband and I moved to River Forest about 15 years ago. We both worked. We retired about 5 years ago. And as I've hit that demographic, it's become painfully aware to me that there is a lot to learn and a lot, it can use a lot of help. And I recognize Dan because I went to the, we went to several of the long range planning meetings that the village had. And I know he spoke of issues with people that want to stay in River Forest, and, but they want to move. And it, we, as I said, we moved here 15 years ago, so we're kind of have a foot in both worlds. But it's mostly interest and curiosity and wanting to help is why I'm here.
Very good. Thank you, Deb. Mm-hmm. James?
You can call me Jim. As long as you don't call me late for dinner. Ryan, you can call me most anything, right? So I've lived in River Forest for over 127 years. I look pretty good for the amount of time I've spent here in this community. No, I'm kidding. I've lived here since 1975. And I say my my service to older adults started when I was in my youth and in my grade school years. I went to school to become a financial advisor, got a master's at Dominican in finance, and then in 2016, I got a master's degree in gerontology from the University of Southern California, and then last year completed my PhD in gerontology and leadership at Concordia as well. So I'm not just interested in it from a this is an interesting topic standpoint, or we're all aging, but in that this is a really, really important endeavor, multifaceted exploration, psychological, sociological, biological aspects of aging are something that we're just beginning to really understand. And so that's in my, heart in terms of really trying to serve that population. It was in my service of that population as chairman of the Senior Services Committee, and I've been on the Senior Services Committee for River Forest, I think, for the past maybe 15 years, that we had the flood in 08. Ron and I, mainly Ron, created the disaster strategy that River Forest adopted. And since that day, I don't know that people really understand the amount of money. Ron, what did the river crest at the last passing here in the spring, and that usually resulted in somewhere in the neighborhood of about $30 million of property loss, and today we stand with zero. So kudos to you and to all the work that everybody did to make that happen. But it got brought to light because it was older adults that were most adversely impacted in our community, and that's how I got involved. And so they said to me, hey, Jim, you're at Senior Services. What can you bring forward to help our seniors? And a congregate meal and I said, we need bleach and pumps. And they said, no, we don't have anything like that. So that set about that work. And then the creation of Celebrating Seniors, just another organization to serve and really celebrate the accomplishments of older adults in our community. And so that's, I'm also an adjunct. So I have my own estate planning financial advisory firm. Office here in Oak Park, one in Downers Grove. I'm an adjunct at Triton, where I've taught adult education and finance for the last 10 years, and I'm an adjunct to Concordia in River Forest, loving every minute of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. And Lydia or Dan? Lydia, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm happy to go. I'm Lydia Manning. I am a gerontologist. Currently, I would say more of an academic gerontologist. But for me, gerontology and serving older adults is a vocation and it's a calling. So I feel like I've been in these communities for the last 7 years. I'm a professor of gerontology at Concordia. I've been there for 7 years, and I feel like it would be in many ways I wouldn't be a good steward of my skills, my research, my training, and my calling if I weren't serving in this capacity to do what we can do to make River Forest an age-friendly community. So thank you.
Thank you, Lydia. Dan?
I'm both a city planner and fair housing zoning attorney. And I just realized I actually started getting interested in senior issues way back around 1979. I lived in Evanston and was quite involved in the efforts to control condominium conversions, in part because they were really putting the screws to the seniors in Evanston by doubling the cost of living in the unit once they converted. And I think senior concerns have always become, because of that, a concern of mine. Now that I'm actually living it, I've become even more astutely aware. From my own work, I'm aware of the need of a continuum of housing choices for seniors that includes group homes for the frail elderly, something that's really not permitted under River Forest's blatantly illegal zoning for group homes that violates the Fair Housing Act. I've also, though, become aware of just the ordinary, everyday issues seniors have to deal with. If it's just walking on our streets at night, where the lights are so poor, walking on the sidewalks, where you can trip on a sidewalk or trip on a branch, to the issues of ensuring that seniors can continue to live here, where they've contributed all their lives, and shouldn't be forced out by a lack of housing that's affordable to them. So I hope I can bring that sort of experience to this. I also have a fair amount of experience with conducting surveys properly. And I have looked at the AARP community survey and realize if we do have to do any surveying, that needs a lot of tweaking. And I will be a pain in the ass about this, but any surveying we do has to be random sampled to have any validity. And that's sort of my involvement with this, and I hope that we can achieve some goals here and get this community moving more beyond talk, getting it so we're not just talking the talk, but really walking the walk on enabling seniors to fully participate in the community for as long as they're capable of doing.
Great. Thank you, Dan. And I can tell you that's the intent of this committee, is actually put together, look at all this stuff and put together an action plan. But before we get into that, I got the boring task of doing the just a preliminaries on the OMA and the Statement of Economic Interests. And under the Open Meetings Act, which we're a public body, we need to comply with that. And currently, the governor issued a disaster proclamation, and there is an amendment currently, or I shouldn't say, it was a new law under the Open Meetings Act that applies when you are under a disaster proclamation, which we are until the current governor's disaster proclamation takes us till July 26th. And so with that, we are allowed to do our meetings virtually, like we're doing today. And of course, and we are required to record, but also have a roll call vote for every action we take. And so we're, again today, other than adjourning, most of today will be discussion, but we will get at the point where we're going to start voting on items. We won't have to do that today, though. However, what I did want to raise, though, is if perchance that the governor does not extend his disaster proclamation beyond July the 26th, we will then be required to meet under the what I call the old Open Meetings Act, which would be we would need a quorum to be in person in attendance at Village Hall, where there's eight of us, except for Ms. Cedar, who's not here, but there's eight of us. A quorum then would be five. So five of us would need to be at the Village Hall. And the others, can call in or participate by phone only under the following exception, meaning someone's either sick or they have a business commitment that they could not get out of. Unfortunately, as sad as it sounds, our fear and caution of COVID is not going to be an excuse for us not to attend our meeting. So I just want to alert you to that. If we are at the Village Hall, we'll attend, face masks, we'll do the social distancing, and then of course the maximum gathering of, I think at the time, currently is 50. I don't anticipate, hopefully we won't, but then of course it's social distancing as well. So we won't be able to fit 50 people in the Village Hall if we need to, but we'll go as that, goes along. We might have to move. Let's assume we get a lot of people who want to come, then we might have to end up moving our meeting to some other public arena, and whether school district or auditorium or something like that, if it comes to that point. But I just wanted people to know, because it's not so much that we wouldn't want to continue during the virtual. I think maybe our residents probably, out of caution, would probably prefer it. But if the governor doesn't extend his disaster proclamation, we're going to have to abide by the OMA.
Just interrupt here for a second. We, as village staff, does plan to continue to utilize Zoom for public participation. We certainly want the public to feel safe and able to participate in our meetings. So we are planning to continue using that. However, this really just applies to the committee members.
And hopefully if someone from the public wants to insist in being at the meeting, then we'll have to accommodate that. That's mm-hmm. what I should have said that and been more clear. So thank you, Sarah, for that. Dan, you have a question.
Yeah, I've been attending a lot of seminars, professional seminars on public participation and public meetings. And I'd like to suggest that when we enable citizens to attend these meetings, that you give them the information so they can attend via Zoom, not just by phone. That produces much better public participation and is very much appreciated by the public. And it's a simple thing to do. Also, I would ask that we further query our village attorney, because I've been told at these meetings by municipal attorneys in Illinois that we can continue to meet by Zoom even if the governor releases his order. I'd like to get a very explicit opinion addressing that, because there are members of this committee, myself, particularly myself included, that are really very aware this epidemic is not going to go away. And live in-person meetings are not going to be safe. Fortunately, we have a governor, I think, who is aware of that and will, not drop the ball, but you just never know. So the minimum, I would hope that we could agree that the meeting should be accessible to the public via Zoom so they can connect both visually and through audibly.
Okay. All right, Dan, that's a good suggestion. We'll see. And I'm not the technology person. So I definitely think that people, and we will encourage the public to attend virtually as well. So, but we'll look at your suggestion as well in terms of that. So thank you. Does anybody else have any questions or comments? Okay. Then let's go with the next. In continuing, and just a brief note, the statement of economic interests, that's something that is part of our ordinance, so all our committees and commission members have to complete one. It's I think like a 2-page, 10 question that comes probably once a year, and it's not going to happen until probably next, I'm thinking what, April in there, but I'm looking at Sarah. After a while, it blends.
I typically send out the notification in January or late December, as soon as it becomes available to for individuals to complete online. It's generally not due, I think, until like the beginning of May, though. So you have several months to complete it. And I send a lot of reminders to people.
Right. Sarah will send reminders, and you'll get an email from Cook County that's going to send you the form and the link to do that as well. So, but you're not going to be alone. We all pretty much will receive it, and then we'll comply with it. It's more of a disclosure item. So not to worry, and we'll walk you through it when it arrives. But I just want to alert you that that's a possibility coming up. Let's see. Okay. Now, I think Sarah, when we sent out the agenda, we gave the two attachments, which was the resolution, a village board resolution when it created this ad hoc committee. Also, there was a memo that was related to that that resolution when we created this age-friendly river forest. So I don't, unless people have questions, I don't really want to, well, I shouldn't say I don't want to. I'm not planning to read it unless all of you want to. I figured you could read it, but I do want to focus in on at least our charge, which is to conduct a baseline assessment of age friendliness, in the village. And part of that, we can do it through, as what Dan, I think, was inferring earlier in his comments, is through a survey and or focus groups and or community listening sessions. And that also was part of when the village applied with the AARP Aging in Place community. When we were recognized, we put a plan together as well. And these are some of the guidelines of what we need to do. I wanted to highlight that. And the other part of our charge is when we get the information, we're supposed to evaluate the results and then come up with an action plan, which I think what Dan was referring to earlier as well. So that's basically our charge, and our action plan is due in October 2021, October 1st, 2021. So obviously we have time. It seems like a long time, but depending on the amount of work we engage in, it might appear to be shorter as we really approach this. But I do want to say that our village is different. I think even Dan suggested this earlier. Our village is, we're going to tailor this survey and our action plan to River Forest. So I know there are other plans that are out there, and we can do our research as well. But we're going to focus in and sharpen whatever we're going to be doing as it relates to River Forest. And one of the things that I know that the AARP looked at in terms of aging communities were 8 domains. And I just want to read them off to you, and I can send them off. Again, this is not a test. I wasn't expecting you to know this today, but I'm sure some of you already do. But the AARP 8 domains in an age-friendly community, they're looking at outdoor spaces and buildings, transportation, housing, social participation, respect and social inclusion, work and civic engagement, communication and information, and community and health services. So these are the areas that AARP looks at and defining age friendly. And I think these are the areas we probably will need to look at when we're moving forward. So I just wanted to throw that out particularly the experts in the group. Does this sound reasonable? Do you want to add, modify, or what are your thoughts or everybody's thoughts for this?
Could you run through those again slowly?
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I do this every now and then too. So thank you for calling it to my attention. The first area is outdoor spaces and buildings. Second is transportation. Third is housing. Fourth is social participation. Five is respect and social inclusion. Six is work and civic engagement. Seven is communication and information. And eight is community and health services.
And Riz, if I may, this is included in that in the memo as well.
Okay.
So it's in it's on the second page. The final step is continuous improvements, and that does list the those eight domains of livability.
Terrific. Okay. So thank you. Thank you for that, Sarah. So and so I'm thinking that those are the eight areas that we would need to look at in terms of analysis of Abreu Forest, and on those areas, the needs that our residents or seniors would need and when we do our assessment. And I know it's going to vary from village to village, but in our village, obviously, I just want to make sure we look at all these eight areas and come up with a determination on what the need is for our village on each of those eight is what I'm suggesting. And that's what I'm throwing out to the group. If you have thoughts on any of the eight and whether we should or shouldn't, or is there anything else that you think we ought to be looking at? These eight areas were just suggestions from AARP, but I'm sure they're not a total exhaustion of where what we can focus on, particularly for our village, if you want.
I think it makes sense to stick with the eight domains that ARP recommends if we're going, you know, if we're applying for the designation and for, you know, to become deemed age friendly. But I think there, like, we could think about moving forward with some, you know, brainstorming and some discussion about maybe making subdomains. And I think about, I hear social connections, and then I think about, okay, well, connectedness, yes, but what does that mean? Like, how well are we offering intergenerational opportunities for connectedness? So maybe we could think about adding subdomains in the future.
And you know what? I totally agree with that, Lydia. And I'm almost wondering, with these eight, should we already, you have a good suggestion. I mean, I had that in my mind as well, in terms of intergenerational issue. Maybe we can start looking at each of the eight and maybe just penciling in the subcategories. And we can do that starting today, tomorrow. And even as we go through this process, if something else comes up as we delve into this a lot more, we can come up with more subcategories. So I would agree with that as well. And I'm jumping the gun a little here, but, and I'll explain what I mean jumping the gun. One thing I thought about was, I know Lydia, you are working with the River Forest Dementia Friendly group. And so I wanna make sure that we are coordinated with the efforts that group is doing. I don't want to compete, and I definitely don't want to skip over them or do something that may be, God forbid, even inconsistent with what they're doing. So, and I know you're on it. And so I'm going to be looking to you to say, hey, stop, or hey, we ought to include this. This is what they're working on. And if you think there's an update, whether that's at every of our meetings, or if an occasional update that you'd like to add, we can add that to the agenda just to make sure we're all together. I mean, we're a small village. We should be able to do this. And so I would welcome that in the future as well. Okay?
Yeah, I think the two movements are more complementary than not. Yeah. I hear age-friendly, and I instantly think about all age, all ability. I mean, for everyone.
Okay. Good. And Chris?
I was wondering, is there an AARP definition of these eight domains that we could start with?
Okay. Yes, there is. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start collecting information on that and then forward that over to each of you. If it's duplicative of what you already have or know, that's fine. And so we will send that to our group. Dan.
Yeah, I just want to suggest that we not, and I don't think we're going to limit ourselves to ARPs, templates, or eight domains if we find there are other areas that make sense. I don't want us to go the path that the village went with its affordable housing plan, which did not, as you know, Rez, did not really, in my opinion, did not address many of the issues that a real affordable housing plan would address.
Okay. So
I don't want us to be limited. Our goal is not to have a stamp of approval from AARP, I don't think. I think our goal is to serve the seniors in our community more than anything else.
And Dan, I totally agree with what you just said. And I think that, I know the goal is not a recognition. And I didn't mean or infer that's what we're trying to do. I do think the fact that if we serve our seniors and provide the best services that we can, that recognition will come as part of our effort. So I'm not looking at that. Regarding your suggestion, and I totally agree that, I guess when I threw out the AARP domains, these are just suggestions. They do have surveys. And I can tell you that I was not planning to use that as a master and that we'd have to adhere to. I do think that, and by the way, Dan has offered, and he found some other surveys as well. And so what I'm thinking about, and I'm jumping ahead here on the agenda, but you guys are faster than what my agenda said. So, but on the survey, I think that collecting, I go, there's some research that needs to be done. And Dan has sent, or at least started to, and I say started, I'm not sure if he's done, but his suggestion sounds like we still will be looking at other possible surveys that we can at least review and collect so that when we come up with our survey, it's something we can agree on that should move forward. And I know, Dan, you indicated that that any survey that's out there, we would probably want to tweak. And I'm saying I'm fine with that. And sometimes looking at different surveys helps us tweak the one that we ultimately will draft for our village. So I'm right now open to ideas. I'm not restricting anything. If you think there's some other areas we ought to be probing or looking at, that will be, you know, I welcome those. Right now, this meeting was really to try to get a general, very general picture of where I think we want to go, but we're not restricted to what I'm saying today. It's more like think about it and we can start defining something even more for the next meeting. But what I am thinking is that the first job we will probably want to do is come up with some survey so that we can do an assessment of what the needs are for our seniors in River Forest. The other thing I would add is if some of you already know, for example, I heard that River Forest Township had already did some surveys, have some results. I'm not saying, again, we have to just abide by them, but if they already did something, it's worth, I think, looking at. I haven't seen it, but I think we can all look at it to see. And if you have other ideas of other places to look at research, et cetera, hey, I'm open. This is going to be a group effort. So, you know, I'm looking at Lydia and Jim, since they've been in this area for a long time as well. As well as Dan in terms of surveys. So you might have more information that you can provide or at least setting us in a pace where we can move ahead in terms of surveys, et cetera. Lydia, I thought I saw you raising your hand.
Are we permitted to have subcommittees or task force as part of our ad hoc committee work?
Good question. I don't, at this point, see anything that prohibits us from doing that. So if there are other people you think we can bring in, go ahead. I'm sorry.
About all the work that was done, you have a history on this with Val Lester and Barbara Morrell, like in some
sure.
of we started with Arbor West Neighbors and trying to understand housing.
Yes.
And so this is a survey in draft form. Dan, I'm happy to share it with you. It's focused right. on housing, but I'm just wondering if there, you know, there was a lot of momentum there, and I don't know if I just was curious if we could farm some of it out or maybe bring bits and pieces together. Perhaps we could do some secondary data analysis of already existing data sets, both in our local community, and then look at some of the national data and then figure out from there where the gaps are and what we need to know moving forward and how to best answer those questions.
And yes, Dan?
Yeah, Sarah's memo from January 28th said that there have been similar surveys completed recently by community organizations. So I think if you could gather those for us, plus the methodology, we need to know if they're a random sample or how they did them and the results, that would be very helpful. Plus, one thing I realized before we even really get down to any nitty gritty with surveys, we need to identify, and it's going to require probably picking Jim's and Lydia's brains a lot and reading some of the material, exactly what we want to learn, what we want to know.
Thank you.
And when we know what we want to know, then you can craft questions that go to it. Because any survey we do, to be perfectly honest, it's got to be limited. You really can't do more than 40 questions, roughly, or else you're going to have a massive fall off in response rate. So there's, if you're curious about what I'm approached to surveying, Google the name Don Dillman at some point in his total design method. Very effective. We actually did the housing needs analysis survey for Naperville a number of years ago, and actually got a 65% response rate from residents and a 50% response rate from employees, which was pretty damn good.
Okay.
So that the key is we want, when we do surveying, we want to make sure we're not getting a self-selective sample, because that doesn't represent the community. We need to get a sample that represents the community, and you probably need to do a stratified survey where you survey a higher proportion of renters than homeowners, because renters tend to respond to the surveys less, a lower rate than homeowners. Plus with seniors, we also have to take into account seniors, which has a whole lot of implications for the formatting of the survey. So it gets pretty complicated, but I have extraordinary confidence in this group of people, because I gotta admit, I know everyone except Ron, and given what your background is, I suspect we got one incredibly capable group here. I'm kind of excited about it, to be perfectly honest.
Great. Lydia and then Chris.
Do we have a budget?
I don't think we do we, Sarah?
We do not.
Okay.
However, you know, we can certainly approach the village board with different items that the committee would like to explore.
Sure. And so then I would like to think that if we come up with, this is what we want to explore, this is our plan of, not the ultimate action plan, but our approach and how we think and what we need, I would go back to the village to ask them for the money to do this. So, I guess in a bad way, we don't have a budget, but in a good way, we're not. Because we don't have a budget, I don't see a restriction yet. Okay, so, okay. Chris, you also had.
Dan, you brought up a great point, and that is before we do any research, we really have to look at what are our objectives. What are we trying to find out? And it isn't even worth it looking at a survey till we know what we're trying to find out. The other thing is we'll probably want to do some focus groups first before you get into a survey, so you've got the good language and you've got, you know where you're going. I think a lot of us on this group have done a lot of research, so I don't think that's something that we're missing. And we do, if we bring in Barb Merle, that'd be great too. So the other thing And Rez and Lydia and I have been involved in something that had started with Leadership Lab. And where are we on Val Lester's survey that we were going to do with Concordia?
That's what I'm drafting.
Right.
And so, I actually piloted it with my folks. They were visiting. I'm like, oh, remember, lucky you all. You get to be just to get kind of a run through of how it felt. But I think, I feel like our work as a committee is to get clear and have focus on what our approach is and what our goals are and what we're doing and how we'll do it. And then if it makes sense to use that portion of the housing part, we can. But I think that work, that survey is sitting there waiting to figure out what this committee is doing and if we want to utilize it. But again, Chris, I think you make a great point. I feel like we need to know what our grand tour question and plan is. But I think it speaks to the excitement and the momentum and the interest people have in figuring out some of the answers to these questions about aging and what it means to age and age well in the village of River Forest. And I should also say, I didn't really spend any time on it in my introduction, but I am affiliated right now. I'm the interim director of the Center for Gerontology. So I do have small pockets of grant money to do age-friendly work. And part of that is through the mayoral caucus. And so at some point we can explore what other communities are doing around age-friendly momentum and look and see if there's places for connection and collaboration once we have a foothold. But there's, just all that to say, there's a lot of movement in the Chicagoland area, which I think it's.
And for what it's worth as well, I'm a member of the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus in terms of aging in place, and they're putting together also like a resource database of what other villages are doing as well. Again, it's not to dictate what we're doing, but to give us ideas of what others are doing as well, if that helps us. I can just tell you generally, the point, not limiting our committee, but generally, what this committee I'd like to see is who are our seniors? And I don't mean by age, but who are they? Do we have them all? How can we capture them? Two, what do they need? What are the needs, whatever they are, versus any of these eight areas or anything else relating to that? And then can we come up with a plan to help them in our village and what that plan would be? And whether it's resources, whether it's just, assistance sometimes, in dealing with any of these. I'm not necessarily restricting our group from doing anything. I just want, generally, that's the big picture. How we get there is what I'd like to engage all of you to say, hey, here's the approach, here's how we ought to do it, blah, 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 type of thing. Whether it's focus groups or whether do we need to do research first or do we need to collect, as many of our seniors identifying them who they are before we even start a focus group. We have the River Forest Township, the River Forest Library. They do have senior activities. I don't know how much in terms of coordination they can help with or what information they can provide us, if at all. I mean, we got Lydia and Concordia. We got Dan and his background as well. I'm not restricting how we do there, but I do think that maybe we need an outline of how we should approach. And I'm not sure if it's an outline for each of these eight areas, and they may be different, or is it a general outline for all of these areas? That's something for us to discuss and come up with. Any reaction, thoughts?
Right.
Okay. Oh, go ahead, Lydia.
Would anybody be opposed to have, so I'm just thinking in terms of human experience and social capital and labor, I always have students who are in the process of doing practicums or they're looking for projects that are applied and meaningful. And so it's appropriate. I mean, there might be students who are interested in this work who want to help us. So if no one's, if we're allowed to do that, I might, if I can see if I have students who are interested in this topic.
I can just tell you that we would welcome it. I know as part of the MMC caucus, actually all the villages, because I think we heard from Oak Park that they actually had an intern from, if it was from Texas or somewhere, I can't remember now, that came in and helped them and did a great job with an internship. So once that took off, I mean, I think that's something we definitely would welcome. So Lydia, if you find a team of people, students, yeah, obviously, I know there's an educational component to it and requirements for that. So, but we would welcome that. So I'm sure everybody else would. Okay, Dan.
I realized when this committee first got started, I sent out an email to everyone with a Planning Advisory Service report on planning aging supportive communities. And I was just taking a quick look at it. I haven't read it in years. But I suspect it's something that we well worth everyone's time to take a look at, because it's addressing a lot of these domains and providing, I think it would give us all a good base of knowledge for those of us that are not as immersed in this as Lydia and Jim are, as to what we probably need to be addressing and the different possibilities that are out there. I could send it to you again if you'd like.
Okay. Can I trouble you? Oh, I was going to say, Dan.
For the whole committee again.
Oh, I was going to ask you, thank you. If you could do that, that'd be terrific.
And Lydia mentioned when this first got started that she had some publications for us to look at. And if you think any of those would help us figure out what we want to do, what we want to need to know, that might be really cool if you could share those with us now, so we can get the more of a base knowledge.
That'd be really helpful. Is everyone comfortable working in a Google Share Drive or any, I don't know, I mean, we could, no, okay.
Just email.
There. So if I can just interrupt real quick, yeah. What I would suggest is if there's something you'd like to share with the committee, send it to me and I'll share it with everyone. Because we do, it's kind of a goofy workaround, but it is considered a violation of the Open Meetings Act to email everybody on the committee. It's not considered an open meeting anymore. So the way we get around that is to blind carbon copy everyone. So if there's something you'd like to share with everyone, just send it to me and I can push it out.
And in terms of that, Lydia, you mentioned Google Drive. Is that because some of the documents are too big, or is it just easy to come on? Okay. All right, good. Because then we can work on that. And so if it's something that some documents may be too big or whatever, I mean, Sarah, we can do something so it gets deposited somewhere versus...
I would suggest Box.
Okay.
The easiest way to share large files.
Okay.
I would just caution against working on for everybody to collaboratively be working on a document that
correct.
Doesn't have access to.
Okay, no, that makes sense. This is more of collecting the information so that we all can get access to it, and if you can send it out, that's terrific. I'm just thinking ahead, but sometimes these documents are even too big to go through an email, and then we would have to look at something like that where people, you can send the link and then people can download the document from that link, so to speak. Okay, good suggestions. Okay. So other than right now, what it sounds like we're going to start collecting documents to review. And I know that obviously maybe Lydia and Jim, you're going to be probably speed throughing some of those or already know or read them. So, but for the rest of us who need to look at it, that'd be great. The only other suggestion I would have from any of you, if you find something, can you just, instead of just sending a document, give me a quick blurb on this document would be good for the following, so we have a good idea what you see the use would be, so we can focus on that. So, and if it's only certain portions of the document, that's fine. You can call that to our attention. Okay. All right. Okay. I already talked about, well, we talked indirectly on eventually doing focus groups or community sessions, as Chris suggested, but I'm not sure. We'll have it on the agenda to keep in mind. I'm not sure we're there yet. I think we need to at least do our research and ask the question that I think Dan suggested is, what do we really want to focus on in terms of what are we going to be asking? What do we want from people? So, or what do we want to accomplish, I guess, is another way of asking it. So, so Dan will send us his email, Lydia, and anybody else can send information, send it over to Sarah. She will then distribute it to all of us for that matter. But any other suggestions or thoughts on this, on the approach and next steps? Dan?
My cursor moves too fast sometimes. I wanted to just suggest that for our future meetings, it would really be helpful if the packet and agenda could be posted at least a week before the meeting, so we will have adequate time to read everything and don't have to try to cram it in at the last minute. I know everyone here has a busy life, and you know, we've got a reasonably narrow scope compared to what you have to go through with the Village Board res, and I can't imagine any reason why we can't just get into the habit of getting the packet out at least a week in advance, so that we'll have adequate time to look at stuff.
Okay, and Dan, my thoughts were, for example, as you send the information, as Lydia sends the information, I was thinking that Sarah is just going to send it to us either in one email or two emails when we receive this, so we can start reading even before the package, because I'm assuming this is going to be a lot of information.
Yeah, I've already sent it to Sarah, and the PAS report that I sent her, it is 101 pages.
Okay.
Or you don't have to read everything.
Honestly. Okay. All right. And Dan, if there was, and I know if you sent it to Sarah, and if there was something you wanted us to focus on that document, feel free to send an email. Hey, look at pages so-and-so, not restricting us, but what you thought would be really good to look at or something. So I'm just trying to help people focus on whatever you're sending it so it tries to help us focus. That's all. And so my anticipation is, when you get that, Sarah, that don't wait till the next meeting or agenda, just forward that over to our group so we can start doing our homework and reading that. So, okay.
Can do.
Okay. That's, I know eventually we'll probably deal with working with, Carla Sloan reached out to me, and maybe touch upon, I think what one of you may have suggested this is if we need to bring people in to either consult or talk about a specific issue or area that we like, I'll welcome that. And Carla just reached out to me to talk in general about how the township can help our committee. I was willing to sit down with her next week, but as we're talking, I don't know if you want me to, I'd be happy to invite her to the next meeting if you want to hear from her, or if, you know, some of you already know Carla, so this may be more news to me than it is for you, but if you want me to bring her, invite her to the next meeting to do a brief, this is what we do at River Forest Township and our senior services and how we can help, I'd be happy to invite her. What do you guys think? Yeah, does that sound good?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Okay, all right. Sarah, can we put that note that, and we can reach out to Carla, okay, mm-hmm. to invite her. Any other, and as these thoughts come in, are other people you think would be good once we start working in our areas? And our approach, it'd be, yeah, we can welcome and bring people in to help us provide any advice or consultation that we think would be useful to our committee. So, okay. Yes, Chris.
I was just wondering, do we have, and I know I've seen one on AARP, but and it doesn't have to be AARP, but do we have an example of what we're trying to achieve? Do we have a document of what the plan looks like? And I'm not necessarily saying what the content is, but
correct. Okay.
But just something, it's better to have an idea okay. Looking forward.
Okay. And let me hold off, and I think Dan, I see he's raising his hand. So
I've downloaded from AARP's site a bunch of action plans that jurisdictions have adopted. At least I thought I did.
Okay.
But there are a number of action plans that cities of different sizes have adopted, and they'll give us an idea of what they're coming up with. Some of these could be blech, some could be great, who knows? But they're on their website. Most of their links are working. Their links for the surveys were not working, and they said they'd try and fix them. They sent me a sample, their survey in Word.
Okay.
But if you go to their website, perhaps, Sarah, you could share with everybody the AARP website on livable communities and get them to the page where they have the action plans. You can go by state. You'll find the resolutions. I don't know if you'll find many surveys, but there are a number of city today action plans, some of which are actually around our size.
And the memo in the packet does include some links to those items and, you know, toolkits that the AARP has. You know, they've tried, I think, to make the process as straightforward to follow as possible and achievable. You know, there's an explanation of, in terms of, you know, what they would like to see in the plans as well. So that's outlined in the memo too. But I can definitely share a link to the different plans from the various communities.
Yes, Sarah, please do that. Send us an email with that link so we can start looking at it and understanding that, as Dan indicated, that maybe some of the links on their website don't work, but I'm assuming some do. So at least to give us an idea, Chris, to get an idea of what others have done and what we may be looking at. So,
and Chris, I do a literature review. There are some articles from researchers who've gone in and looked at the whole process, like what worked, what didn't, hearing from key community stakeholders, which I think might be valuable, kind of moving out of the ART model and just, you know, what do people say about what does this actually look like and how does it function as an age-friendly community? So I'll look for that information. I think will be helpful to us.
Great. Thank you, Lydia. That would be helpful. Okay. Okay. Jim? Jim, you're muted. You need to unmute.
But I did. I think it would be helpful for people to look at the World Health Organization website where age-friendly originated. ARP adopted the World Health Organization models. So they've been at it in communities all over the world. So you can go beyond just AARP, but look at the bigger worldview to look historically at how we got to here. I think the thing that I found in my research in terms of age friendly is in listening to people that really understood what it was about, cautioned me against making it about, you know, about having a sign that says Tree City USA. What does that mean? What does it mean? And what does it mean for us in our community? And it's a moving target. And so, you know, the city of Chicago is considered age friendly, yet it does not meet any of the eight domains that are needed, but they've declared themselves that, and we can declare ourselves that as well. So I think, again, when you get back to this, what are we trying to do here? I think you have to understand, once you delve into those eight domains, that it requires changes in infrastructure. You know, we're talking about sidewalk changes. We're talking about you know, bus stops, we're talking about public transit, we're talking about not just saying, oh, you should have an awning over your door. We're talking about really major changes. And then the point that Dr. Manning brought forward, that this is not about older adults. Age-friendly means all ages, all age, all ability. As Ron said, people with disabilities. So this is about making communities livable for everyone at every age and station and degree of ability. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Dan, go ahead.
I just wanted to share, I actually did download about 20 of the plans. They range size from 6 pages to 150. They're all over the place, but it'll give us some idea of, you know, what difference these have done if you want to go visit, download a few of those. It's a wide, wide range of what cities have come up with here. And they all pretty much, though, have focused, the age-friendly part of it, they have focused on seniors more than anything else, which is no surprise given the AIP imprimatur on it.
Okay. Before we lose it, Sarah, do you have a link to the site that Jim referred to on the World Health Organization?
I'm sure I could find it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Otherwise, I was going to trouble Jim to send us just a quick link or the word or whatever, and then we'll do the research to pull it, and then we can share that as well to get a little more focus for the rest of the committee members. So, okay. Okay. Good thoughts. And Dan, you mentioned you downloaded, I don't know how many of these plans. It sounds like it's an extreme amount of them. Did you, have you started looking at them, or do you want to, it's all from the same page of the AARP website that you're talking about. Okay. All right. That's fine. Okay. So, and Sarah's going to send that out again to everybody. Okay. So we can look at that. And as people are reading, if somebody feels that there's something that's at least a good document to look at or review, please feel free to send it over to Sarah, and then she'll share that with everybody as well, just to focus. So, okay. Any other thoughts, suggestions? No? Okay, looks like we're gonna have to do some homework. I do have one very difficult issue that we have to talk about today. It is the next scheduling, the next meeting. I'm teasing. In terms of difficulty, I hope it's not. We scheduled it on the second Wednesday of the month. We had a conflict this year. Well, I didn't do it on the first Wednesday of the month because that was during the July 4th holiday, which would be inconsistent and obviously maybe would have conflicted with some of our plans. But so we technically now could go back, although next July 4th, we'll have that issue again, probably. But if you want to continue meeting on the second Wednesday of the month, we did have a conflict with the police forum today, but if we nail this in terms of agreeing to have it on the second Wednesday of the month, we will make sure that there are no other village meetings get scheduled during ours, so we won't have that issue of conflicting meetings, so to speak, at least not with the village. So is everyone okay staying with the second Wednesday of the month? Yes? Okay, good. Okay, great. Then the second Wednesday of next month will be August the 12th, and we'll schedule, it's again, 7 o'clock. We'll get before that. I'm assuming after July 26th, we'll hopefully get some word from the from the governor's office in terms of whether he's extending the disaster proclamation. And then we'll know what the next steps will be in terms of not the date, but how we need to conduct our meeting, and particularly ourselves, meaning the committee members. So more to come on that issue. So, but it will be scheduled then for the second Wednesday of every month. So if you want to docket that on your calendars, for the future, and then we'll do that. Now, alternatively, I guess, if we feel that, particularly as we start rolling, that we need to meet sooner. We can schedule special meetings for that. But at least what I do want to have at least one regular meeting once a month. So, okay. All right. Any other final thoughts, comment? Dan?
Lydia had mentioned the idea of subcommittees and such, and I think that in order to enable us to actually do that, you know, because they have to comply with the Open Meetings Act too, you know, we might want to think that we may want to create some breakout subcommittees that work on specific items so that all eight of us aren't working on everything. We got certain, you know, two or three people focusing on certain things, which might facilitate our efforts tremendously. So that's just something to keep in mind. I thought it was a good idea from Lydia.
And I think as we talk about that, and I'm going to go back with the village attorney as well. And what I'm thinking of is if official committees by the village have to comply with the Open Meetings Act. If we have what I call other small advisory committees, smaller committees that are helping us, we'll run this by the village attorney, but I don't think we'll need to hold public meetings for them. They can go ahead and work on on the research projects, and then they might have to report to us at one of our meetings, and that will be public, but I'm not sure of the actual work they do. But, I'm looking at Sarah, and we'll run it by the village attorney on that issue. So I don't know if that helps. I'm trying not to make this too complicated, but I do welcome the idea that we're going to, you know, we can use the help. So I don't know. Dan, what's your thoughts? Dan, you're muted.
I was just remembering, someone told me that the way the Open Meetings Act works is it applies if you have a majority of a quorum, then you have to have an open meeting. But if you don't have a majority of a quorum, you don't have to have an open meeting. But I, you know, check with.
That is correct.
Okay.
Correct. So. Yeah. And I thought what you were asking, Dan, is if we do have like a subcommittee, that they also have to comply with the Open Meetings Act and go through what we have to go through on our committee. And I guess, you know, what I'm thinking about is when we have, like, if Carla Sloan is going to come in, I wouldn't consider her like an actual committee member of our committee, but I would see her as a welcoming participant to provide us some advice or consultation, et cetera, that we would use more like an informational item. And I think when I heard subcommittees, I'm thinking of groups like that that can work on stuff, but then come back to the committee and report to the committee, and then we're using that information. That's what I was thinking of. But Dan, I'm not sure if you were thinking the same.
Well, I first thing I was thinking is that Lydia needs to hold up her dog a little bit higher so we can see him.
There we go.
Okay, good. And I do have an important question for Lydia and Jim. Is that the new house? The remodeled house? You can go. It's beautiful. Beautiful. They did an incredible job of restoring this house on Chicago Avenue. Gosh, I forget the street you're on, two blocks west of us. Just gorgeous job. I see the subcommittees is more of working committees. You know, it's not really where you're really doing the nitty gritty work, since, you know, we're basically doing the work ourselves. So it's more of that.
And I agree with you, Dan, that if some of us are working with some of these smaller groups, as long as we don't have five people on those groups, then yes, that the quorum will trigger the Open Meetings Act. So we just got to be careful with that.
Okay, so, Rez, I think it would be three. So the quorum is five. And that that means that the committee can meet and can take action on items with a minimum of 5 members present.
Okay. So it's a majority? Is it, okay.
So a majority of the quorum would be
3.
Right. And that would constitute a meeting.
Okay. So it's a majority of a quorum. Okay.
Correct.
So basically then we would have to make sure that there are 3 of us cannot work on any of those smaller groups. Okay. Dan, I think you were raising your hand, but I'm not sure. No? Okay. All right. So that's what we would have to be careful of. So basically no more than 2 of us working with a small group. So, but that they can, you know, I thought what we were talking about too is if there was another group that can do the work and then they just, we wouldn't have to participate with them or wouldn't have to, and they just do the work and report to us. And that would not be a problem. But
I mean, no, that's what I was thinking about. Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's
Dan, go.
Thinking too. I mean, if a group of 3 got together just to work on something but not take any action, that would still trigger the Open Meetings Act.
Right.
That is correct. That would trigger it. As long as there's 3 of us together, that would trigger it.
Well, if we could expand the committee to 11, then we could have 3 people meeting together.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to think 11, half of that. You're better at math than I am, Dan. So the quorum of 11 would take us to 6, right? Yes. And then half of that, majority of the 6 is still would be 4.
Yeah, so you could have 3 people meeting working
yes,
together.
Yes, correct.
Do we know if they had more people wanting to be on the committee?
What I understand is you all were the only people that applied.
So, I don't know why I got chosen.
Yeah. So it was good. Well, I'll tell you what, we did have to approve an increase of 1.
Mm-hmm.
So that one of you was, I don't know which one, and I don't care to know which one, was exceeded the original amount of the committee membership. And so the board then re-amended that to include 1 additional person. And so that's how all of us got to serve on this. So that's how it is. But you know what? Like I said, we are a small group. We can focus. We can still get people to help. And so sometimes when they get too big, they get a little unwieldy, although, so I'm actually happy with the group that we have.
I'm excited to work with Ron Sherman. You're famous, Ron. I've heard stories about you, so I'm excited to work with you. Everybody else too, but I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm going to say, if we ever get in a meeting, I'm going to sit next to Ron then. It looks like he has a lot of clout here. So that's good. Now, well, I'm looking forward to it. So, all right. So is there any other comments, or if not, we'll be following up with additional links and information. If any of you think of something else that we ought to look at, please send it over to Sarah so she can distribute it to us. And if not, then I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Anyone can do that. Okay. Well, for Ron, you're going to have to unmute yourself and actually verbally say, I move to adjourn.
I was going
to
say the thumbs up didn't work, did it?
Okay.
I second it.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. And Jim seconded?
Yes.
Okay. We do have to do a roll call since it's virtual. So, Sarah?
Chris Howery?
Agree?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Angie Cedars? Absent. Ron Sherman?
Yes.
Daniel Auber?
Blatantly.
Deborah Frederick?
Yes.
Jim Flanagan?
Yes.
Lydia Manning?
Yes.
And Chairperson Vasquez?
Yes. Okay, great. Well, thank you all. And again, looking forward to working with all of you. And good job. Okay.